listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
It's rock out with your Brock out season. Because last night, Brock Purdy, I guess you could say, won his third game because he came in off the bench in one of them. So technically, it is not a win in the record books. But he has three wins pretty much and three good performances for the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners have won seven in a row, and they're sitting in with a record of 10-4, and now they are NFC West champions as they dominate last night. I know it doesn't reflect in the final score, but if you watch that game was never close as they dominate the Seattle Seahawks by a final score of 21-13. I got a few reactions from the game last night. Number one, I think we could all now admit, even with Brock Purdy, with the way that the 49ers are constructed and how it's a down year for the NFC where there's not a lot of great teams, because you look at Philadelphia, I think a great team. Cowboys, I'm not ready to call a great team. Vikings, not ready to call a great team. And then pretty much everyone else is vying for a playoff spot. But the 49ers already winning the NFC West. The 49ers, the way they're built in the trenches on the offensive line, Nick Bosa looking like he's a defensive player of the year. You know how well they're coached with Kyle Shanahan, with DeMeco Ryans. You got George Kittle. You got, in addition to Christian McCaffrey as well. You just got so many great players on this team. And still, you're going to be getting guys back. Like Deebo Samuel's coming back, you would think, in 2 weeks from the way that it's reported. And the one question about the 49ers, it never was, do they have the talent outside of the quarterback position? But would they get enough from the quarterback position to win a Super Bowl? And at first, it was Trey Lance. Two games in, then he gets hurt. Then Jimmy G's rocking and rolling, and it's like, okay, Jimmy G's going to be the starter for next year. They're going to have to trade Trey Lance this offseason. And then Jimmy G gets hurt, and that probably does signify the end of the Jimmy G era in San Francisco, and he will go somewhere else this offseason. But now this kid, Brock Purdy, who is Mr. Irrelevant, and I'll give you the cheesy joke, now he's very relevant, but this was the last pick in the draft from this past year, and his first three games, he's been really damn good. And you don't need him to be great, but you need him to do what he did last night, and that was give him opportunities, but pretty much, and I know this has a negative connotation, but that's the way the 49ers are set up. You got to be able to be a game manager, and then if you have the game on the line, you got to make the critical throw. Now, in the first three games that he's played, there has not been a scenario where the game has been on the line late in the fourth quarter. Like, they blew out the Bucs. They blew out the Dolphins. Last night, even though the final score was 21-3, that was like a 20-6 game, 21-6 game for most of the way, or the way that that at least felt. So Purdy last night went 17-26. For 217 yards and two touchdowns. And oh yeah, by the way, they did that without Deebo Samuel. So you see George Kittle get into the end zone twice. You know you have Christian McCaffrey, who can not only beat you catching the ball, but then clearly running the football since he's a running back. You didn't even need anything out of Brandon Ayuk last night. Juwan Jennings goes for three catches. This is just a well-rounded team. And sure, there's going to be more tape out on Brock Purdy. He now has pretty much three games under his belt. Defenses are going to adjust. There's going to be a moment come playoff time where he's going to have to step up and elevate that team. But right now, with what I've seen so far through the first three games of pretty much his NFL career, there's no reason to believe that if he keeps on playing like this, or there's no reason not to believe that the guy can't win a Super Bowl. Because if you keep on playing like this and you keep on doing what's asked of you, it's going to be good enough for the 49ers because of the juggernaut that you have around you and how many strong, great pieces you have around you, like we just mentioned. So I look at this 49ers team. I'm not telling you they're definitely winning the Super Bowl. I'm not telling you if you're a Niners fan, get your plane tickets booked, your hotels booked, get your Super Bowl tickets bought for Glendale, Arizona in the middle of February. But when I look at teams that I can envision making the Super Bowl, 2 weeks ago I said it was only four. And that was the Cincinnati Bengals, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, and then the Philadelphia Eagles. If you ask me today who gets to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, it is Philadelphia. But if you tell me it's not Philadelphia, instantly I gravitate right to the 49ers. So if I only get five selections on teams that I could envision going to the Super Bowl, Bengals, Chiefs, Bills, Eagles, and then the 49ers. Because Brock Purdy, from what is being asked of him, is displaying he is good enough to do that. And if it comes playoff time and he turns over the football, if he gets in a crucial spot and he can't find a way to grind out a victory, those are all things that are possible. But so far, the 49ers haven't made him do that against three good opponents because we know how good of a team they are, even with the question mark at the quarterback position. Like the last three teams they beat, the Dolphins are rolling. The Buccaneers, I know they're not having a great season, but they still got Tom Brady. And the Seahawks, it felt like their season was on the line last night, but that was a team that was playing above where you thought they were going to be before the year. So it's not as if he's doing this against the bottom three teams in the league. It's not like Brock Purdy is dominating against the Texans, the Broncos, the Rams, like three of the worst teams in the league this year. He's doing it against average, above average to even good opponents. So this is why it's very impressive with what we've seen Brock Purdy do, even though it's not much. But you don't need to go throw the football 40 times a game. You don't need to go have 400-yard performances and toss five touchdowns. You just got to take the little stuff. You got to be mobile. You got to know when to get rid of the ball and quickly get rid of the ball because you got to work with what you have. And the 49ers, we know, have constructed year in and year out a great team. And it's not the first time we're seeing this. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance back and forth last year, and Jimmy Garoppolo got hot down the stretch, and that team got rolling. Same thing this year. It was bouncing around. Trey Lance out. Jimmy G out. And now it's Brock Purdy. And it's kind of funny that the third time may actually be a charm. Because this group, they were in a Super Bowl. They lost that Super Bowl where Jimmy Garoppolo overthrew Emmanuel Sanders, got the ball batted down by Chris Jones at the line of scrimmage. You take a glance at last year. They had a lead in the fourth quarter of an NFC title game, a dropped interception away from maybe winning and getting to the Super Bowl again and maybe winning the whole damn thing. Who knows? And this year, it seems like they have just as good, if not maybe even a better opportunity than those last two times. Because this roster is phenomenal with explosive playmakers. And even though there's an unknown at the quarterback spot, it's kind of what we've seen from Kyle Shanahan. His system works with regardless who you plug in. And it may not take you to a Super Bowl this year. You may not win a Super Bowl this year. But I can't sit here and tell you they can't get to a Super Bowl. I can't sit here and tell you that they definitely won't win a Super Bowl this year. And you've seen enough from Brock Purdy the last 3 weeks to say, okay, he's showing he could work in the Kyle Shanahan system. So that's takeaway number one, that Brock Purdy's 49ers can win a Super Bowl this year. I'm also now going to transition into Jimmy G. If Brock Purdy keeps on playing like this, and more importantly, they keep on winning, are you really going to go to Jimmy G when he's cleared to play? Because this team's rolling right now. Now, they were rolling with Jimmy G, but Brock Purdy's come in and has won three games in a row. And you look at the 49ers schedule down the stretch, I don't think they're going to cool off here. You got the last three games, you got the Commanders, the Raiders, and the Cardinals. You know you'll beat the Raiders. You know you'll beat the Cardinals. So at worst, this team's going to be going into the postseason at 12-5. They could be, and probably will be, 13-4. And if that's the case, and Brock Purdy we know will be playing on wild card weekend because, A, Jimmy G's not going to be cleared by wild card weekend. The earliest they say is divisional round, barring something changing. And you know the Eagles are going to be most likely the one seed. So if Brock Purdy wins a playoff game, and then let's say Jimmy G's ready to go by the division round, if everything goes right, how do you bench a guy that if he plays well and wins a playoff game? You don't. So, Hickey, I'm starting to think here that barring an injury to Brock Purdy, we've seen the last of Jimmy Garoppolo not only for this season, but we've seen the last of him in a 49ers uniform because there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be elsewhere next year. Now, I'm not telling you Brock Purdy's the guy for years and years to come. I'm just looking with the limited time, with what he's shown so far in these last three games, and the three games that are remaining on their schedule, a tough team in the Commanders. Then you play a bad team in the Raiders. You play a bad team in the Arizona Cardinals. Barring an injury, he's going to be starting, we know, wild card weekend. And if they win wild card weekend, I don't see how you pull the guy. I really don't. And then it's a win-or-you-go-home moment, pretty much. Because if he wins divisional round weekend, you're not going to pull him come conference championship weekend. And then if he has them in the Super Bowl, you're not going to say, oh, let's insert Jimmy G back into the lineup, even though it would be Super Bowl Sunday.
Right. I mean, we talked about this when the timeline came out that Jimmy G's season may not be over, but like the 7 to 8 week timeline is right around, like I said, probably divisional round weekend. So if Brock Purdy wins you a game and gets you to the second round, are you going to not only bench him for Jimmy G and bench the hot hand, but also bench him for a guy that hasn't played in 2 months?
And not only that, it's not as if you get Jimmy G back, you sit there and you're like, oh, wow, we have this great quarterback. This wouldn't be as if Tom Brady was waiting in the wings coming back, or Patrick Mahomes, or Joe Burrow, or Justin Herbert, or Josh Allen, whatever elite quarterback, Jalen Hurts, that you want to say in this league right now. Jimmy G, if we're having an honest conversation, a lot of us look at him as an above-average quarterback in this league. Not many look at him, even though he's won a lot of games, as this franchise quarterback. And the last part of this conversation, and we talked about on the tail end of the show last night, I don't know if he wins the award, but he has a damn good case for Coach of the Year this season in Kyle Shanahan. I know he has a great team, but you're talking about a team that's going to be 12, 13 wins when they've had to rotate and they had a carousel of Trey Lance, Jimmy G, and now Brock Purdy at the quarterback position. Like, you take a glance at this, Mike McDaniel's in the conversation for Coach of the Year. Robert Saleh in the conversation for Coach of the Year. I guess he could. I don't think Vrabel's going to win it again, but Vrabel's in the conversation. Nick Sirianni clearly could win Coach of the Year. They only have one loss of the season. Ron Rivera has re-entered the conversation. If the Giants make the playoffs, Brian Daboll is in the conversation. I'm starting to think Pete Carroll's moving out of the conversation, but they're 7-7. If they surprise people down the stretch and get back the train moving in the right direction and make the playoffs, that would be a phenomenal story. Kevin O'Connell only has 3 losses. He's in the conversation. Dan Campbell could take a team that was 1-6 and maybe get them into the playoffs. He's in the conversation. But so is Kyle Shanahan. Because I know you could poo-poo it. I know you could say, yeah, buddy has a great roster. There's one thing to have a great roster, but then there's another thing to find a way to win games even with the great roster when you're rotating in quarterbacks, which is the most important position not only in the NFL but all of sports, all throughout the year. And not by design. Trey Lance got hurt. Jimmy G got hurt. And then you had Brock Purdy come in, and it was like, I was thinking, okay, as great as the 49ers are, there's no way Brock Purdy's going to get this team to a Super Bowl. And here we are 3 weeks later where it's like, okay, man, this guy's good enough with what they're asking him to do, where they could be in the Super Bowl this year, and maybe they could end up winning it. Because they are a top-5 team in the NFL. They're a top-2 team in the NFC. And the 49ers are a team that even if you don't believe in Brock Purdy, even if you think he's eventually Cinderella, it's going to hit midnight, right? The clock's going to hit midnight. You're not going to want to see the 49ers come playoff time because that defense is championship caliber. That offensive line's phenomenal. If Christian McCaffrey could stay healthy, we know how dynamic of a player he could be. And if they get Deebo Samuel back, we know how dynamic he is as well. That's like, go ask the Dallas Cowboys. You think the Cowboys were jumping for joy when they got them last week, last year in the wild card round, when everyone was saying the Cowboys were great? Not only did the Cowboys not show up, they embarrassed themselves. They mentally got messed with. Even before the game, they weren't prepared for the game, Mike McCarthy admitted. And at the end of the game, they couldn't even get the ball snapped. That's a team. It's a veteran team. It's a team with a lot of experience, and there's not many flaws on that team. So when you look at the 49ers, you think they can win the Super Bowl this year with Brock Purdy? Has Jimmy Garoppolo played his final game with the 49ers? And is Kyle Shanahan going to win Coach of the Year? Those are the questions we have for you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. We'll break here. When we come on back, Alex Anzalone from the Detroit Lions will join us as they get set for a big matchup in New Jersey this weekend up against the Jets.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
The Detroit Lions have won 5 out of their last 6 games, and they have a nice little showdown up against the Jets in New Jersey coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock. And now joining us is a captain of the Detroit Lions, and that is a linebacker in Alex Anzalone on The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Alex, always do appreciate when you join us. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Good, good. Just settling here at home after a good Friday at work, so I'm doing well.
When you guys were 1-6, and now you sit there at 6-7, have a chance to get to 500 up against the Jets, why did this team not break and not really collapse and fold when you guys were 1-6?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you guys, you know, probably saw through Hard Knocks, but we definitely have taken the identity of our head coach and Dan, and, you know, just that gritty mentality and that, you know, one week at a time mentality has gotten through the adversity early in the season. And really, every team is probably going to hit some adversity. It's just a matter of when, and we hit ours early.
It also seems like a really fun group to be a part of, and I don't think anything defined that more than what we saw last weekend in that victory up against Minnesota. A fake punt at your own 28-yard line, tackle eligible to ice a victory and seal victory up with Penei Sewell and a tackle eligible. That stuff was just wild with what I saw last weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, on defense, you know, you're getting ready to go out for the punt. I didn't even know it was a fake punt. I just saw C.J. Moore just take off around the edge. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun to watch and fun to be a part of because, you know, it's in the NFL, you kind of can get, you know, those non-explosive plays that aren't, you know, that as fun as how we make them.
Did it feel like for you guys that your postseason, just because of the poor start that you got off to, started a few weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I mean, we have we were starting to fade after the Bills game. We have a 5-week mentality that, you know, we have to win out, and that's what we want to do.
talking Alex Anzalone right now. It's 6-7. The fact that you guys now have a chance to realistically make the playoffs, is there any doubt in that locker room if this team has what it takes this year to go make a postseason run?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone doubts, the pieces that we have to, going forward as far as going on a run. And even in the playoffs, I feel like we're a confident group. We play as a team well, and we complement each other, offense, defense, and special teams.
Alex Anzalone here with us from the Detroit Lions. They have the Jets coming up 1 o'clock on Sunday. You take a look at your quarterback in Jared Goff. When he got traded from the Rams to the Lions, people thought he was going to be a stopgap quarterback for you guys, and eventually you find someone else. But he's playing some really good football this season. Well, what are you seeing not only on the field but also inside the locker room with your quarterback in Jared Goff?
Yeah, I feel like you see a confident quarterback. Last year was, it was a transition year for him, and he's in a new place at a different offense. Maybe not all the pieces that he needed around him. And, going into this year with the new offensive coordinator and Ben Johnson, he's really stepped up to the plate and taken it to heart. And, he's the leader of our team. And, we really go where he goes. And he's done a hell of a job this year.
We saw Jameson Williams, the first-round pick, go get his first career catch last weekend, and that was for a 42-yard touchdown. What can he bring to this team down the stretch as he plays his first few games of his career?
Oh, man, he could take the top off any defense, I could tell you that. I really haven't seen any speed like that, really, in my whole career, even college and NFL, all of it. So, I feel like that aspect that he can – a downfield threat that really can take the top off at any point, it's just going to open things up.
We'll get to your defense in just a second, Alex Anzalone, but you look at all the pieces you guys have on offense. Now Jameson, Amara St. Brown is a heck of a wide receiver. The two running backs in Swift and Williams, we talk about Jared throwing the football. I just can't wait to see how this matchup goes down, because this is one high-octane offense in the Lions. It's been that way for most of the season, and you could probably appreciate how good this Jets defense is, you playing defense in this league.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, it's a good matchup for our team, and, we'll see who comes out on top. I feel like, honestly, the best defense is going to win on Sunday, so, I know our guys on offense are up for the challenge, and they're ready to go.
How would you describe your defense? Because a lot of people, when they talk about the Lions, the first things they talk about is the offense. They talk about Dan Campbell as well. Describe to me this Detroit Lions defense.
Yeah, we had a slow start, obviously, in the beginning of the year, and we were kind of working out some kinks and, getting the right guys on the field, figuring that out. And since then, we've really just stepped up to the plate. And really, our mindset is we don't want to be a sideshow to the offense. We want to, be known for our defense when you think of the Lions. And, the past 6-7 weeks, we stepped up to the plate. So, we're just excited going forward.
How big of a turning point for you guys when you look back at it was that Green Bay game? Because you found a way to pick off Aaron Rodgers 3 times. That kind of spoke to what direction your defense was starting to go to.
Yeah, for sure. That was a tough week. Going into that, we made some coaching changes. We traded TJ, and we were 1-6 right before that game. And, we just took it upon ourselves to, step up to the plate, because, there's jobs on the line. There's, people's livelihoods on the line. And, guys really stepped up, and when they capitalized on their opportunities when they came in that game. And since then, we've been rolling.
Alex Anzalone here with us. So the Lions are going to be going up against the Jets. Zach Wilson now inserted back into the starting lineup as the quarterback for the Jets with the Mike White rib injury. What's your view when you start to take a look at Zach Wilson on film?
Yeah, I feel like he's, he was the number, 2 or 3 overall for a reason. He has all the arm talent in the world. He was in a tough situation. He's playing in a tough city. I'm sure he's going to be motivated to come out and perform well. So, he has that scrambling ability, the off-schedule throws, and, a ton of talent. So we just got to be on our P's and Q's, contain him, and do our best.
It wasn't until today on Friday that you found out he was starting. Have you guys been preparing for both quarterbacks, or does this now kind of throw a little curveball at you?
Yeah, I think we had an idea earlier in the week what we were going to get this week. as far as the quarterback goes. It's, you know, you watch the film and see the hits that Mike White took. It would have been a hell of a recovery for him to come back from that. So yeah, I mean we're prepared. We were prepared for either one, but yeah, we're definitely prepared for number two.
How do you guys try to slow down the rookie wide receiver for the Jets, Garrett Wilson, who's really taken this league by storm early on in his career?
Yeah, I mean, I was just watching film today, and, you know, he has a mean, dead leg, and he's an explosive athlete. And, you know, I know they're trying to get the ball in his hands because he can make those big plays, and he has that home run ability, and he's fast, and he can take the top off. But also his route running is really good, so. Hopefully I'm not matched up on him too much, but I know our DBs are up for the challenge.
Aiden Hutchinson and Malcolm Rodriguez on the defensive side of the ball, the two rookies. We all know Hutchinson, the second overall pick in the draft, but Malcolm Rodriguez went later on in the draft. Both of those guys have got off to some great starts. What has impressed you about both Aiden and then also Malcolm to start off their career?
I feel like their mentality has been, you know, really good, especially for a rookie, as far as, you know, not getting ahead of themselves. I know they've had some early on success individually, and you know, they're still trying to get better, trying to be the best player that they can. I know I've seen really rookies in my career have that early on success, and you can't tell them anything. So you know, they've, in that regard, they've done a really good job.
You've been with Dan Campbell for a long time, back to your time in New Orleans, and now with his career as the head coach of the Detroit Lions. What's your favorite Dan Campbell story, Alex Anzalone?
Man, there's a ton. I feel like you all got a good sneak peek on Hard Knocks of what he's really like in the team meeting room. But, yeah, there are a million different things that he does. Even today we were talking about penalties and the penalties that we can't have in this game. Then I think we had three penalties, I think two unsportsmanlike penalties last week, you know, that were not good. One was a late hit, but he had, you know, our assistant, I think like the coaching assistants, dress up in pads as the players, and they video recorded it in the indoor, and he showed it to the team in the team meeting room. And, you know, there's just a million different stories like that Dan brings to the table.
Well, Alex Anzalone, good luck against the Jets. Always appreciate when you join us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
There he is, Alex Anzalone from the Detroit Lions. And you can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. When we come on back, a lot of people have a lot to prove this weekend in the NFL. We'll get into those teams and players next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C-13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We're getting into the final few weeks of the NFL season. 4 weeks left when you have things on a Sunday for a lot of teams around the NFL. You got three games coming up on Saturday. Obviously, last night you did see the Seattle Seahawks lose to the San Francisco 49ers. Your Saturday games, Colts, Vikings, Ravens, Browns, Dolphins, and Bills. But when we look at pressure for the teams and players in Saturday and Sunday, here are some things that stand out to me. Number one, there's a lot of pressure on Miami this week. Miami's going to maybe like a foot and a half of snow in Buffalo on Saturday night in Orchard Park. This has been a Dolphins team that looked like they had an opportunity to win the AFC East. That pretty much is all but gone now. You know that Buffalo's going to win this division. I'd be shocked if they don't win the division. But the last 2 weeks, this is a Dolphins team that got blown out by the 49ers. And even though it may not show in the final score, I thought they got dominated by the Los Angeles Chargers. And you had Tua Tagovailoa have two of the worst games he's had this season. And it comes at the worst time because now you have to go to Buffalo up north in the snow. And I can't see a way that the Miami Dolphins win this game. And that's kind of crazy to say because Buffalo has 10 wins. Miami has 8. We know that Buffalo already lost to Miami once earlier this season down in Florida and South Florida. But Hickey, you tell me if I'm wrong here. I just can't see a way where on Sunday I'm on Eye on Football talking about a Dolphins win over the Bills from the night before, or we're coming in here on Monday and we're discussing, wow, the Miami Dolphins shocked a lot of people and went into Orchard Park in a foot and a half of snow and beat the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen and company.
I'd be very surprised. Very surprised.
And you've been the biggest Dolphins supporter there's been. You picked them to make the playoffs before the start of the year. You have been on the Tuanon. But right now, you're sitting there and you're looking at the Dolphins as a team that you're like, they're not trending in the right direction.
We talked about this three-game stretch when it started, right? 49ers, Chargers, Bills.
Now, you gave me a face. Hold on. Did you not pick the Dolphins at the start of the season?
Yeah, I don't think I did.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I did.
Wow. Well, I had to call you out on that, but I was just saying what I said. And
yeah, Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs, and then I took the Ravens and Bengals.
Okay. And then
so
Buffalo,
I did not
too?
Take, I did not, yeah. So just like as wild card teams, I did not take the Dolphins. I said Tua will be the starter in 2023, play well enough to keep the job, but not make the playoffs.
With how much praise you did bestow on the Dolphins, I just assumed that you put them in the playoffs. So I apologize.
Didn't know what to expect.
That. But still, you've been pretty positive when it comes to Tua Tagovailoa, and now you're saying there's no shot he's going to beat Buffalo.
In this game, with this weather, with how he's played the last two games, yes, no shot.
Even if it was 65 and sunny in Buffalo this weekend, I don't think Tua wins this game. Even with Von Miller now being done for the season, I just think you're seeing two teams trending in different directions. Where the Bills had their midseason funk and their little fall from grace where we all questioned them, and now they have reeled it back in, and now Miami's fall from grace is happening really at the worst time of the year because it's late into the season. I'm not going to get on them for losing three games in a row earlier in the year. They were without Tua Tagovailoa. But to go through that stretch where they won four games in a row, where they beat the Steelers, beat the Lions, they beat the Bears, they beat the Browns, five games, beat the Texans, and then to lose to the 49ers and Chargers, and not just losing, it's the way that they lost those games. I would be shocked if we get a big bounce back effort here for the Miami Dolphins, and the Dolphins sit there at 8-6, and you get a little bit uncomfortable. Not that their schedule is murderer's row down the stretch. You play the Green Bay Packers, who are not a good team this year, and if you can't beat them, then you don't deserve to make the playoffs. And then you get the Patriots and the Jets, which I think the Dolphins are better than both those teams, but it's not a walk in the park anytime you go up against a divisional rival. And the Dolphins know that from both ways. When they've been a good team like this year, or in years past where they kind of have played that role of spoilers. So I think there's an enormous amount of pressure on the Dolphins this week. I just don't see how they walk out of Buffalo and get back on that plane and they're in a happy mood. I think this one's going to surprise you because I look at the Ravens and the Browns. I think there's pressure on someone this week. And I think a lot of people would say, oh, Deshaun Watson, because you got to see Deshaun Watson start to get the rust knocked off, and he has not played well in his first two games back. But I think there's a big amount of pressure here on Kevin Stefanski because each and every year there's a surprise firing in the NFL. Stefanski, if things get really ugly here down the stretch, where if it wasn't for their defense and special teams, they would not have beat the Texans. They just lost to the Bengals, who we all know are a good team. You're playing the Ravens, but you're playing the Ravens with Tyler Huntley as the starting quarterback. This isn't Lamar Jackson. This is Tyler Huntley as the starting quarterback, which I know he's played well, but even though he's played well, he hasn't won a lot of games. You look at their schedule down the stretch, Ravens tomorrow, you have the Saints, the Commanders, and the Steelers. If you don't go 2-2, if you go 1-3, and it's not like these close games that you lose that gets you to 1-3, and there's some blowouts in there, and Deshaun Watson, I don't know what the relationship is, but let's just say Deshaun Watson doesn't like you, even though Deshaun should have no power and really no say. You know he has power and you know he has say because that team just traded a boatload of draft picks for him and gave him a fully guaranteed contract. So if you're Kevin Stefanski, Hickey, I don't think you just feel comfortable in these final four games. You better find a way, bare minimum, to go 2-2, or it would not surprise me in 4 weeks from now on Black Monday if we're talking about a potential coaching change with the Cleveland Browns.
Don't leave up to chance. Beat the teams you got to beat, and that includes the Ravens on Saturday.
Lions and Jets, there's pressure on both. But really, Zach Wilson now gets an opportunity maybe to win back his job because he's been playing horribly, got benched for Mike White. Mike White was playing good, even though they lost the last two games, but against two really good teams in the Buffalo Bills and the Minnesota Vikings. And now because of the beating that Mike White took last weekend, which makes no sense to me how he was cleared to return to the game a few times. And now this week, he's not cleared to play. And then they play on Thursday too, so it's a short week. Who knows with the fractured ribs if he's going to be able to get cleared. You now at a bare minimum have a one-game window, maybe a two-game window for Zach Wilson to not only win back your job, but keep the Jets here in a playoff race. Because the Jets are 7-6. If the Jets lose this weekend, they go to 7-7. And remember, the Patriots, even though they have the same record, the Patriots beat them twice. And oh yeah, by the way, the Chargers also 7-6 team. Where in the NFC, you have a little bit more wiggle room. Now Detroit, they're 6-6. They got to win this game. They got to find a way to win 3 out of 4 down the stretch. Probably win out to feel good. But you look at the Jets, the difference between the Jets and the NFC teams, there's only one wild card spot up for grabs in the AFC, or else the way that it feels like. In the NFC, you're looking at two spots up for grabs, and it may be one after this weekend because whoever wins the Giants and Commanders, they're probably going to get in the postseason. But, Ryan, I have no clue what to expect out of Zach Wilson this weekend because, yeah, he's a number two overall pick, but he has not played like a number two overall pick. And until he starts to play well, I can't really sit here and tell you that I have a lot of confidence, even though in a bizarre way, like early in the week, if Mike White was going to play, I probably would have picked the Jets because it feels like everyone is on the Detroit Lions this week.
And Zach Wilson today is at least saying the right things, but especially too, where you have a short week where you're not like they were preparing as Mike White was going to start up until today. So you have 2 days of practice as a starter.
Well, they were hoping.
Right, but I'm saying he was going through taking most of the number one reps when he was, able to practice. So it's not like they were, sure, they're hoping, but also it wasn't like it was like, oh, Zach Wilson's the guy, so all week he's taking reps with the ones. It's really today and tomorrow. So a short week for a guy that got benched, we'll see where his head's at. That's a biggest thing.
This is where you'll find out who Zach Wilson is. Because you know that locker room has turned on you, and you can't now just all of a sudden walk in with Zach Wilson t-shirts. That would be so fraudulent if you're the Jets. You know this Jets team likes Mike White and prefers Mike White better. If you are the number two overall pick, if you are deserving of that number two overall pick, you're not. If you lose the game this weekend, you're not the reason why you lose this game. That's what it has to be, bare minimum, for Zach Wilson. If not, and you lose this game and you play dreadful and you play horribly, the only reason you could be started next week on Thursday up against the Jaguars on a short week is because Mike White won't be cleared to play. I think there's pressure on the Panthers this week. For the first time since maybe week two when I called it a must-win up against the Giants, the Panthers have pressure because they've been 4-4 under Steve Wilks. They go up against the Steelers, and Kenny Pickett has been downgraded to doubtful, so it's either going to be Mason Rudolph or Mitch Trubisky starting at quarterback. For the Panthers, this is a game where Tampa could lose this weekend, where they go up against the Bengals, probably are expected to lose this weekend. You control your own destiny if you win out. You don't want to lose control of that own destiny. You go up against a Steelers team that has a really good defense. We know that defense is solid. But offensively, they don't have much. And you know the Panthers' defense is good. This is a lot of pressure, I think, for the first time since week two, Ryan, on the Carolina Panthers this weekend.
I can't go there. I won't. I think it's gravy at this point, honestly.
But if you're in that locker room, you're now thinking there's a shot because of the way the NFC South is that you could make the playoffs.
But pressure, it's like, okay, if you lose, that's like a failure. I wouldn't say that, like, if they lose this weekend, it's a failure.
No, you lose control of your own destiny.
Yeah, they shouldn't have in the first place.
Okay, but you're telling me if the Colts weren't in this spot, you wouldn't be saying, oh, the Colts, they got pressure on them this weekend at the AFC South, other than, like, let's say if Tennessee was what the Bucs were this year, you wouldn't be saying there's pressure on your football team? You absolutely wouldn't.
I wouldn't say pressure. I wouldn't use that word.
Yeah, here you are with your kitty gloves on. We're talking about a playoff push here for the Carolina Panthers. Of course there's pressure on them. I also think there's pressure on my football team this weekend. You're going up against a coach that knows you very well in Josh McDaniels, but this is a coach that lost to an interim head coach that was, what, coming off the ESPN set in Jeff Saturday? And then lost to Baker Mayfield, who had less than 48 hours to prepare. Wouldn't this be the most NFL thing possible this year? If the Raiders couldn't beat those scenarios that I gave you, but then they beat arguably the greatest coach of all time in Bill Belichick. There's pressure on the Pats this weekend. Because if you lose, you go to 7-7, and then it starts to look more and more likely that the Chargers end up getting into the postseason. So, pressure on the Pats. I think then in the same breath, there's pressure on the Chargers. You get the win last week. Let's see if you could string them together now. You go up against a solid football team in Tennessee. We'll see what Justin Herbert and the Chargers could do. Pressure clearly on the Bucs too. Because even though Hickey's going to poo-poo this Panthers playoff push, which I've been poo-pooing all the entire year, that's why the irony is in it right now as we sit here in week 15. But you're the Bucs. That Panthers game, I think it could go either way. But if the Panthers win, they're 6-8, and you lose, and you go to 6-8, man, you miss the playoffs. That's an absolute embarrassment. And then clearly there's pressure on both the Giants and the Commanders. Because even though both those teams can make the playoffs, and that tie from 2 weeks ago may loom large when you're deciphering, is it going to be, let's say, the Commanders win this weekend, then we'll be the Commanders and the Giants, we'll be the Commanders and the Seahawks, we'll be the Commanders and the Lions getting those two final wild card spots. That tie could come up in a big advantageous spot. But I see this spread. It was at 4.5, 4 earlier in the week. Now it's at 5. I kind of think the Commanders are just a better team. And I think they have more to offer on offense. Their defense is better. I think they're a more complete team. And with the way that they started 2 weeks ago, when they were up 10-0, and they let the Giants back in the game, and it looked like the Giants then were going to win the game, and then it goes in and tie, I think the Commanders, even though that's not really a home field advantage because that stadium's a dump and no one really has, shows a lot of pride anymore for the Commanders, I do think the Commanders find a way to beat the Giants. Take a break here. We'll come on back. 5 questions, 5 answers when we return. We call that segment Onsides, Offsides, and we'll get back to it next on CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.